They were still refugees, not residents, so the dome was squalid. The hallways were strewn with trash, excrement, the bones of animals. The still heat was horrible. The stench was worse. The street-fed lake beneath them was filled with broken furniture, rusted metal, floating fish. Boys dropped heavy things from the low sections, hooted at the splash. Some even dived. They swam to the bottom, looking for treasure. Every room had been turned over. In many places, the electrician found slashed cardboard boxes spilling glossy programs. He took them, organized them, stashed them. He created a library. He read them at night with a candle he received in exchange for a candy bar. He read the fast facts, the fun trivia, the dome history. It was a dome history that Judge Roy Hoffhines enjoyed watching minor league baseball with his daughter, Danae. After a rainout in the summer of 1952, the disappointed girl asked her father, "Why can't they play baseball inside?" The region gave the impression of being pledged to the distant past. Not a trace of investment, just earth and the lowing of livestock on the move. We went through a wooden door into the rock, walking through what appeared to be catacombs. Real torches along the walls lit our way. Our passage through the hill soon brought us out into a small underground church. The ambiance reminded one of places of worship from the time of the persecution of the first Christians. The priest, with his long gray beard, looked like a contemporary of Methuselah's. Nevertheless, he was energetically waving a censer over a basket of food that some of the villagers had brought. The torches, the aroma of incense, the priest in his robes, these mysterious trenches under the earth. I was reeling from so many impressions when Bronco signaled that it was time to move on. Outside, beneath the central Moldovan mountains, it was now completely dark. Instead of the livestock from the valley, all that could be heard was a high-pitched barking, as though a dog had swallowed a piece of chalk. The violinist's instructions took us to the main road. The heavy Bessarabian rains that had fallen recently had more or less ruined it, and the car had serious trouble rounding the bends. I presumed that the otherwise sharp Bronco, at the wheel, must have been temporarily befuddled by the poetry of Old Orhei. The Moldovan villages with no electric light fit perfectly into the whole atmosphere. Joe's memories are of exhaustion and a sour taste in his mouth. He remembers a little burst of white light as my dad opened up the minibar and slammed the door shut again. He wanted to know about his missing tooth. "That tooth of yours has gone to a better place," my dad said. "I wouldn't worry about it."
"Will we find it? Can we look?"
My dad picked up the phone.
"We'll ask her," he said. "Let's ask her."
He didn't even pretend to dial. He went through no motions.
"Hi, Mom. Si, soy yo. I am I. El señor de la boca ha perdido el diente de oro. Mr. Mouth has lost his golden tooth. Thank you and goodbye."
He hung up and lay down.
"Turn off the lights, Joe. Let's get them all off."
2 minutes later, his snores were dragging out of him and rising harmlessly to the ceiling.